This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio.
What up? This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Stevens. We got a couple interesting topics today. We're going to definitely give you guys a finals preview. We're also going to go ahead and talk about RJ Hampton and his decision to go to Australia over college. And we're going to talk about the meeting between Adam Silver, Maverick Carter, and Rich Paul. So just stay tuned. This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio. So first thing we're going to get into today is the NBA Finals preview. We got the Golden State Warriors versus Toronto Raptors. Definitely very, very interested in this series. Looking forward to a really good series. I hope that it's a long series. I don't expect anybody to sweep or just run off with the series. I'm definitely expecting at least a 6-game series here. The Warriors, they're going to be without KD for game one, and Steve Kerr actually came out today and said he might be out for game two, which I think is going to be a huge deal. He also said that Boogie's active for game one, which I also think will be a huge deal for the Warriors. I'm really interested to see what the Raptors are going to be able to do defensively against this Warriors team. I think one of the biggest problems that Portland had last series was they had real trouble getting back on defense in the fast break. And they just, you can't do that against the Warriors. You turn the ball over and you don't get back in the fast break, you're going to lose every time. And so I'm very interested to see if the Raptors are going to be able to get back and just, you know, force the Warriors to play more of a half court game. They got some really good defenders on that team. And I mean, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, Kawhi, best defender in the league right now, in my opinion. And then you got guys like Danny Green over there too. So you got good veteran defenders on that team who know how to play defense. You got a couple guys who got championships over there too, who have been in situations where they have been the underdog against super teams. I'm talking about Kawhi and Danny Green when they played against Miami. So I'm definitely expecting those guys to have good series. It's kind of the support cast for the Raptors that worries me. Kyle Lowry's never been in this situation, and Kyle Lowry has a tendency to disappear at times. I do think it's a little overstated how much he disappears, but he does have a tendency to disappear at times. You also got players like Fred VanVleet, who's been on a tear lately, but like I said, he's a bench player who they really rely on to give them a jolt off the bench, whether it be offensively shooting the ball or just kind of coming in and managing the offense a little bit. So I'm definitely interested to see what the supporting cast for the Raptors is going to be able to do. When you talk about the supporting cast for the Warriors, a lot of those guys have been here before. You kind of know what to expect from them. And then you got guys like Kevon Looney, who you don't necessarily expect him to continue to be on the tear that he's been on, but he's going to be huge in this series, especially with Boogie coming back. The Warriors haven't been the best when Boogie's on the floor. I think they'll probably play a little better with Kevon Looney on the floor, so it's going to be interesting to see the minutes that Boogie gets. One of the strategies that I find very interesting that the Raptors may be able to exploit defensively, actually, is to put Kawhi on whoever the Warriors may necessarily be running their pick and roll with at the time. So not necessarily have him chase Steph around all night, which, I mean, is an option. I definitely think he can do it. But to have him guard like Draymond Green. The pick and roll with Steph and Draymond Green has been a staple for the Warriors offense for years now. It's very, very successful, obviously. And teams usually like to switch on that pick and roll. If you're able to put Kawhi on Draymond Green and have the switch on that pick and roll, and now you got Steph on Kawhi or Kawhi on Steph, that I think that bodes well for the Raptors. They have so many good perimeter defenders, long defenders that they have a multitude of options that they can explore, actually. I mean, you don't even necessarily have to. You can put Kawhi on Steph and have Siakam on Draymond. And Siakam's still a really good defender. He's a long defender. I don't think Steph is necessarily going to be able to shoot over him as easily as he's able to shoot over a lot of guys. So it's definitely, I mean, don't get me wrong, Steph gets his shot up over bigs all the time. But Siakam's a little more mobile than your average power forward. So it's just definitely going to be really interesting to see the strategies that both coaches come out with. I definitely think Steve Kerr's the better coach, but Nick Nurse is nothing to slouch at. I mean, I think the Raptors are here a lot in part because of Kawhi, but Nick Nurse has definitely made some good adjustments down the stretch of some of these series to keep his team in this year. I mean, they were down 2-0 first Milwaukee, and he made some adjustments, and I mean Kawhi and other players stepped it up a little bit, and they ran off four straight on the team with the best record in the league. That's nothing to sneeze at, you know. So I definitely think it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to be a hard fought series, especially as long as KD isn't around. If KD comes in at some point, which is questionable at this point, I guess, you know, he was supposed to come back after a couple games last series. Now he's not playing the first couple games of this series. So, you know, it's questionable if he does come back. But if he does come back, I think he's going to be what puts the Warriors puts the Warriors basically in position to win the series. He's going to be the overkill. You know, that's what I was trying to say. He's going to be the overkill for the Warriors, how he usually is. That's what he was for them in those series against the Cleveland. So I definitely think if he comes back, he'll be the overkill. But without him, I think this series is a lot more even. And you got an element of what the Warriors were dealing with before they had KD in those Cleveland series. And it's going to be a little tougher for them to go bucket for bucket with Kawhi down the stretch. That was a big thing for me. It was tough for the Warriors to go bucket for bucket with Cleveland down the stretch when they lost the 3-1. So, and then they went and got KD, and they were able to go not only bucket for bucket, but get stops and actually add a couple more buckets onto it. So I think there's going to be an element of that in this series if KD isn't around, simply because, don't get me wrong, I love Steph, but he can kind of be taken out of games, and it's been proven in the past that you can beat him up a little bit. You can kind of get him out of his rhythm, and he won't be as effective. So I feel like Cleveland kind of did that. And so when you do that to him, that puts a lot of pressure on Klay. It's offensively, it's kind of just Steph and Klay for them right now. You know, KD, and you need a third scorer, and KD's that third scorer. So without him, like I said, I just think it'll be a lot more of an even series. Really, really looking forward to this series. my prediction is actually probably the Warriors in six. If KD comes back, it may not even go six. But I just think it's going to be really tough for the Raptors to keep up with the Warriors offensively. Like I said, if the Warriors get into 110 points range, 115 points range, it's really tough to beat them. And it's really tough to keep them from getting there just because of the firepower they have on offense and the way they move the basketball. They don't necessarily have the best scorers after Steph and Klay. They don't really necessarily have anybody that's you can bank on getting you 20 or anything like that. But at the same time, the way they move the ball, everybody gets involved. So you'll get 10 from Looney, 12, 15 from Looney. You'll get 10 from Iguodala just because he runs the floor. You know, so you'll get points from those other guys just because of the system that they run. But at the same time, you late in games, it's going to come down to who's going to be able to get a bucket. And you put Kawhi on Steph, that puts a lot of pressure on Klay. And I mean, honestly, if you put Kawhi on Steph, you don't really have to help at that point, in my opinion. Not no disrespect to Steph, but it's Kawhi. So at that point, it puts a lot of pressure on Klay. You can pay a little bit more attention to Klay And now those other guys have to step up even more. But again, my prediction is Warriors in six. I think it's going to be an emotional series on both sides. This is Toronto's first finals, so I think that crowd is going to be just off the wall. It's already a really good crowd. But for it to be their first finals, I think it's going to be even more ruckus in there. The Warriors, it's the last series in Oracle. Game six is the last game in Oracle. So I think it's going to be a really emotional crowd in Oakland. I think the Warriors are going to play with a little more emotion because they want to do this. You know, they want to give Oakland this last championship. So I think it's going to be a really good series on both sides. I think both teams are going to play really well. But again, my prediction is the Warriors in six. And next, we're going to go ahead and talk about RJ Hampton and his decision to go play in Australia for the New Zealand Breakers over going to college. I just think it was a really good decision. Before I give my opinion on it, let me tell you a little bit about RJ Hampton. He's ESPN's fifth prospect for high school basketball. He has pick of the litter of schools that he wants, that he can go to. He is one of the top point guards in the nation. Like, he's really, I think he's about 6'4 or something, like 6'4, 6'5, somewhere around there. Really, really good point guard. From all accounts that I've seen, a good kid. Has his choice of colleges, but decided that he wanted to go play professionally in in Australia. And again, I love and respect the decision. College is kind of a raw deal for these kids. It's a lot of exploitation, in my opinion. Don't get me wrong, I understand that you get the exposure from being in America. I don't really put onus on the whole education thing, because a lot of these kids don't stay very, the top prospects at least don't stay very long. So I don't really put it on them for the whole education thing. But I definitely think that the exposure you get from being at college is an advantage from playing abroad. But at the same time, he's going to go play professionally. He's going to go make money. He has a chance to expand his brand internationally. He can get a shoe deal right now. You know, he can get a shoe deal right now, start expanding his brand internationally right now, as opposed to going to college and having to wait a year. And again, we've seen it plenty of times. Who knows what can happen in college? His stock may go down, you know, from playing in college. He may blow out a knee playing in college for free, you know. So I definitely agree with the decision. I applaud the decision. And I was watching Adam Silver on Get Up, and he was talking about the decision, and he seemed pretty supportive of it. He definitely made mention that he was a little jealous that he didn't choose the G League and wishes that they had a better system to filter talent straight from high school into the G League. But at the same time, he applauded the decision. He kind of seemed like he was applauding the decision or supportive of it, at least. And he also said that Australia is one of the better developmental countries for basketball. They've got 14 players in the NBA right now. That list is kind of spotty. They take credit for Kyrie and Thon Maker, which, I mean, I can't really give them credit for those two guys. But at the same time, I mean, they're on the list. But, I mean, it's still 12 players in the NBA. That's a lot more than a lot of countries. So it's definitely one of the better developmental leagues. So if you're going to choose to go play abroad, that's one of the better places to go. I think it was a really good decision by him. It's going to be interesting to see how it turns out, and interesting to see if his stock goes down because of it. I think it's an advantage that he gets to play against grown men and actually be on a professional team in a professional environment, you know. So I definitely think it's going to be an advantage for him, but it's going to be interesting to see how the NBA and GMs and scouts look at that and see if it helps him or if it hurts him. You had a kid last year named Darius Bazley. I'm not sure exactly how to say his name, but he dropped out of his commitment to college, and he actually was going to go play in the G League. and decided that he didn't want to go play in the G League. He was just going to work out for a year and actually got an internship with New Balance for $1 million. And he's actually entering the draft this year. And he's projected to go in the, about the mid second round. But just another kid that chose another route, another top prospect. He was top. I think he was like the 13th prospect, if I'm not mistaken. But it's just interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how the league perceives not only Bosley, but RJ Hampton as well. I'm just really interested. I really think that if the NBA wants kids to consider the G League, then they gotta increase them salaries. They have to. I just don't think kids feel like it's worth it to go play in the G League for $20,000-$30,000 a year when you can go abroad. And he's going to, I mean, his contract details, I haven't seen them, but I'm pretty sure he's going to make some good money over there. And he's got the chance, to get endorsements and things like that. G League players don't really get endorsements unless it's a high level prospect that just happens to be playing in the G League right now who already had endorsements. But G League players don't really get endorsements and things like that. So I definitely think it's a better opportunity for players if they don't want to go to college to go play abroad. If you want to make the money right now, and it's I think RJ's decision is big for another reason, because he's the first kid to go play abroad just because that's what he wanted to do. He thought it was best for him. A lot of those kids who go play abroad, when you talk about like Emmanuel Mudiay and Brandon Jennings, they went and played abroad because for whatever stupid NCAA reason, they didn't qualify academically. Well, I shouldn't say it's a stupid. Whatever reason, the NCAA determined that they didn't qualify academically to play for a college. So they were kind of forced to go play abroad, as opposed to RJ, who, I mean, has good grades. He can go to pretty much any school he wants to. He's just making this decision because he feels like it's better for him than going to college. And you look at other countries with basketball leagues, and you look at just soccer and just other sports period that are played abroad, they nurture their kids to play the sport from very, very young. I think in Australia, Adam Silver was talking about this too. I think in Australia from about 14, 15, if somebody sees something in you to play basketball, then that's what you do. You go play basketball and you make the best out of your basketball career. And I think that's really, really good for the development of players. If you get them in a system and kind of nurture them to be a professional from 13, 14 years old, then I definitely think that helps, as opposed to the system we have here in America with AAU, and kids are kind of handed everything. Zion Williams has 3 million followers and he hasn't even stepped on an NBA court. Not to say that he hasn't worked hard and earned things, but there are kids who don't work as hard as him, who don't have the same drive as him, who get that same type of AAU exposure. So you definitely, it definitely, the system in other countries and just for other sports abroad, I feel like is a better system to nurture players to be professionals. Hey everybody, Jeff from NSJS Radio here, and I'm here to tell you that if you're looking for the latest and greatest in tennis shoes, you need to go to iShop11.com. That's right, iShop11.com. They're going to have the latest and greatest in tennis shoes for you and some exclusive fits. Go to iShop11.com. You can also follow them on Instagram at iShop11. You want to spell that out, iShopElevn, iShop11.com. Tell them Jeff from No Sleep, Just Sports Radio sent you. And last but definitely not least, I want to talk a little bit about this story with Adam Silver and just Rich Paul approaching him at a luncheon that he was having. So the story is that in November, Adam Silver was having dinner or lunch with Maverick Carter, LeBron's longtime business partner. And Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, was sitting at a table nearby. And at some point during this luncheon, Rich Paul comes over and tells Adam Silver that he doesn't think Luke Walton is the right coach for the Lakers. And, you know, I saw Silver talking about this on Get Up. He said he kind of shrugged it off a little bit, you know, and asked, well, who do you think the right coach is? And he said that Paul suggested Ty Lue. And I don't really necessarily want to get into the Ty Lue aspect of it or anything right now, but I do want to talk a little bit about just how weird this whole situation is. First off, I've never, and don't get me wrong, but there it's possible that it's happened before, but I've never really heard of a commissioner meeting with a player's business partners. That's just why would you be meeting with a player's business partners? Now, maybe there's an aspect to this that I'm not privy to because I'm not necessarily like a credentialed media or anything. I'm not in the buildings or anything like that. But that's just not something that I've ever really heard of. So I thought that was really weird. And then the other aspect of it that I thought was weird was Adam Silver wouldn't, you know, I don't think Adam Silver would tell anybody about this meeting. Why? What does he have to gain from this? So that means to me, the word about the meeting got out from either Rich Paul or Maverick Carter or both. And it's like, why would you give away the commissioner's ear? Like if I'm in that situation and I got the commissioner of the NBA's ear to the point where he'll come have lunch with me, nobody ever needs to know about that. You know, like that's in my opinion, like nobody, I never need to discuss this with anybody who either didn't see us there or wasn't with us at that particular meeting. You know, like it baffled me that this type of information got out. And they said the meeting happened in November. So the meeting happened almost a year ago now at this point. But at the same time, it's like I said, man, it's just baffling to me that you are in the position to have the commissioner's ear to tell him anything that you pretty much want to tell him at that point, I guess. And you let that slip out of your hands because somebody had to let something leak to the media. It's crazy to me. I don't understand why that would happen. Loose lips sink ships, man. And I never understood the need to tell, like, what do you gain from this as Rich Paul or Maverick Carter? What do they gain from this? You know, like, why are you telling people this? It's crazy to me. In this era of just the whole social media era and everything, it's funny to me how everybody needs everybody to know everything. You know, everybody needs everybody to know what they're doing, what they ate, who they were talking to, who they were with, what concert where they're at right now. You know, like it's funny to me how much information actually gets put out there by people. And I just feel like this is a piece of information that whoever leaked it and whoever you gave it to, like they, it didn't have to happen. And I mean, if I was Adam Silver, I'd never take another meeting. You know, I'd never take another meeting with Maverick Carter or Rich Paul, just like a personal meeting like that, a lunching, because I mean, whatever we talk about might actually get out next time. Like this is just a small interaction between Rich Paul and Adam Silver. But whatever him and Maverick Carter were talking about could come out next time. Or, you know, like I would never take another one of those meetings if I was Adam Silver. And I just don't understand how you fumble a bag like that, man. You got the ear of the most powerful man in the league, hands down, pretty much. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand that he works for the owners, but Adam Silver drives this league and you got his ear and you let that slip out. I don't really understand the logic. Another aspect I think is really interesting about this to me is just to see how deep LeBron has his roots in the league. Now, we all know LeBron has power. We all know that when LeBron says something, the league listens. They don't necessarily conform to what LeBron has to say, but they listen. And so it's just interesting to see that his business partner has access to the commissioner like that. And, you know, it's just I don't think there's ever been a player of LeBron's stature like a Jordan or a Kobe, or even going back to like a Bill Russell, or I mean, I maybe that's a little too far back, but just the best players in the league, even a Shaq, when Shaq was the best player in the league. You know, you don't I've never seen a player have his roots this deep into the league as far as the business goes. Don't get me wrong, the fact that LeBron does have a business that's directly involved with the league, I think helps get him in the ear with the commissioner. But it's just it's interesting to see that he has his roots just so. I mean, his agent basically interrupted a meeting that the commissioner was having and told him that he didn't like the coach that LeBron had. Like, it's just very interesting to see that his roots are so deep into the league. And I can't really necessarily say it's a good thing right now. I think that's something that'll have to be determined down the line, but it's very interesting to see. And another thing is that the Lakers are taking a huge PR hit right now. Like, what the hell is going on there? Like, I think a lot of it has to do with that it is kind of the only mom and pop shop in the NBA. And so, it doesn't necessarily have the same structure as maybe a corporation would, which I feel like most teams are more corporately owned now. So I definitely think that has a lot to do with it. But man, this PR hit is just, it's bad. I don't think that it helps them at all in free agency. I don't think it helps them at all going forward as far as the public's eye. Now, I do think it helps them kind of look themselves in the mirror a little bit and, be able to assess exactly what's going on there and be able to make some changes going forward. But just for their PR hit right now, it's horrible. And it's kind of stunning to see the Lakers going. I mean, Magic Johnson basically went on TV and snitched on everybody in the organization. And, you know, like it's extremely dysfunctional right now. It's not something I ever thought I would see from the Lakers. Hopefully they're able to get it right. I mean, I'm not one of those guys who necessarily wants to see the Lakers be bad. But it's astonishing for me personally, just to see the dysfunction that is actually going on within one of the premier organizations in sports right now. And with that, we're going to call it a wrap today, folks. This is No Sleep, Just Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Stevens. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It means the world to us. Subscribe on Spotify. We're still working on Apple Podcasts. I don't know exactly. They rejected us, so we're definitely going to get on Apple Podcasts. So I appreciate everybody's patience there. All my iPhone users, definitely follow us on Twitter at NSJS Media. Follow us on Instagram at NSJS TV. Follow us on, or like us on Facebook at No Sleep Just Sports. I just appreciate all the support that I've been getting. It truly means the world to me, everybody. We're definitely going to get back to album of the week next week. Next week, I'm going to check out Juvenile's G Code. I'm going to give a whole review. Same thing I did with Riding Dirty for UGK. So we're going to get back to album of the week. And I've been looking for guests to give you guys, you know, interview, things like that. So we've been working on expanding the podcast, making the podcast better for you. I appreciate all the support that I have been getting. And again, this is No Sleep Just Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Stevens. Check us out, nosleepjustsports.com.
This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio.